so that they said, I know why you are here, what you are expecting, and after that I will tell you what I will do, so I will do it the other way around, so that I can look who is online, and because you are the first in the list, Aki, I would like you to introduce you a little bit and why you are here and what do you want to do with CDDP and Gluster and what do you need the stuff for.
So I work at Tuxera Inc. in Finland, and mm-hmm. I am part of our network products development team here. And I have used Samba, but Samba clustering is not familiar to me. So, So I'm basically completely new to this topic, and I expect to learn a lot.
Okay, you will, maybe. Hopefully. Okay, Carsten?
Yes, hello, Christian.
Could you turn the volume of your microphone a little bit down?
Sure. Better?
No, I think it's better now.
Okay. My name is Carsten van Horn. I am from Bremen. I'm working as a technical employee at the University of Applied Sciences. We are working with Samba for home directories for students to store their laboratory data. And we're looking forward to build this server up with more high availability. And I think CTDB will fit this a lot.
Okay. Andreas Burger?
Yeah, hi everybody, I'm Andreas Burger from Zurich. I work in the IT of the Department of Health Science and Technology at the Federal Institute of Technology. I took a part at the last of Stefan's tutorials already. We run a CTDB cluster, so I expect to have an update if there are new interesting news on that.
Okay. Andrew?
This is Andrew. I work at IX Systems. I tend to work frequently with Samba, but my last experience with CTDB was quite a few years ago. So I know lots changed, and I'll view this as a way of refreshing and catching up on latest things.
Okay. Ashok?
Good. Hey, my name is Ashok Ramakrishnan, and I work for Nasuni Corporation based out of Boston, Massachusetts. I live and work in North Carolina, the East Coast of the United States. Been working with Samba for a few years now, both my previous employer, I'm a software developer, making modifications, adapting Samba for our work. I am interested in CTDB just to understand the clustering aspects. And in future, if we have to support more high availability, how we can utilize CTDB, if we can utilize CTDB for that purpose. So that's what I would like to understand and get out of this.
Okay, Wolf?
Hi, my name is Wolf Anders. I work at University of Augsburg at the Computer Center. And we are basically run a file system cluster to serve home directories for students and employees and for group directories. And we are using Samba since quite some time, also a CTDB cluster already. And I'm mostly interested in learning what is new or in the recent versions.
Okay. Bastian?
Hi, I'm Bastian. I work as a developer in the network protocol group in Tuxera, that's based out of Finland. I've worked a lot with Samba as a standalone server, and I'm here to learn about Samba in a high available environment. Hoping to learn. Yeah, thank you.
Andreas? mit dem großen A.
Ah, Hasenack, okay. So I'm Andreas Hasenack. I'm based in Brazil. I work for Canonical in the Ubuntu server team. I'm here to learn best practices around CTDB, something that I can apply to our packaging and maybe improve it.
Okay. Alan?
Hi. My name is Alain Renaud. I work for Quantum Corporation in the development team. Basically, we have a product that uses Samba as its base, and we do use CTDB. I'm hoping, we use CTDB over the StorNext file system instead of ClusterFS, and basically I want to learn about the new feature in the current version of CTDB and maybe review the best practice on the usage.
Okay. Oleg?
Hi, I'm Oleg. I work for Tuxera, Finland, and I'm team lead of networking protocol group. So I'd like to learn what is the latest changes in CTDB and what are the features in Samba currently supported for cluster. So hope to learn a lot today. Thanks.
Okay, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Mark is my name. I work for a company.
Could you please turn volume a little bit up from your microphone, please? You're hard to understand.
Is it better so?
No.
Okay. Test 1, 2 now, better?
You're getting further and further away.
Yeah.
Further away. Okay. I'm afraid I can't get it.
No, we can't understand you.
Can't understand. Sorry, this is my first experience with Zoom, so.
When you go to the Zoom settings, that's the point where you can change the volume of your microphone. It's normally set to automatic, and if you change this, and you can do it manually, and you can turn the volume up.
Sorry, can't find the settings. Can we just skip this?
Yeah, now it's a little bit better.
Okay, maybe I just introduce myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark from Germany, live in Tübingen, working for a company that's called Puzzle ITC. That's also located in Switzerland. I'm working as a consultant in open source and Linux, and I'm just interested about Samba and CTDB. Want to learn something about it.
Okay. Christian?
Hello together. My name is Christian Scharwitz. I'm working at the University of Augsburg with Rolf Anders. And I think clustering is a very interesting topic. And I think I will learn very, very much today.
Okay. Klaus?
Hi, my name is Klaus Steinberger. I'm from Munich. I work at Ludwig Maximilians University, the Faculty of Physics. I'm doing IT there, and we are working since long times with Samba. And I want to learn if CTDB maybe is a solution for us. We are currently doing high availability another way. We have two-headed servers with ZFS and Pacemaker. And okay. I have to serve NFS also.
Okay. Arthur?
Arthur is correct, German. Okay. I'm head of IT of the Max Planck Institute for Physics, also located in Munich. We're using Zamba as Active Directory server, and I'm just interested in new technology.
Okay. So last but not least, I will introduce myself a little bit so that you know who's talking to you today. My name is Stefan Kania. I'm self-employed for more than 20 years. My first experience I had with Zamba 2 together with OpenLab 2.1 and then all the way to Zamba 4. I started with Zamba 4 with the first version 4.0 and was on the 2013 with my first Zamba XP. And since then I do the tutorial at the first day of the Zamba XP. And I wrote the German book for Zamba. It's now the third time that I did it. Now the actual version is with 4.8. And I do consulting and training for universities, for small companies, for bigger companies. So I did a lot with Zamba and did a lot with CDDB together with Glasta. So today, just one more question, a few things. If you have a question, just ask and interrupt me. So, because your user should learn something, and if you did not understand everything, please ask, the first thing. The second thing is, who of you, also I can't see everybody, so who of you has installed the virtual machines and tried to do the stuff I will do here?
I have it installed in another machine next to me. Having the meeting, and I have the VMs running, but I didn't mess with them since. I just provisioned.
Okay, you don't have to map. We do everything together, and if you want, you can do it. I will do it so that everybody who would like to also do the same with the machine, we will do it together. And if you have a question, please feel free to ask. The last point before I start. I think we will do a break every 1.5 hours. So to grab a coffee, to go to the toilet, to have a cigarette or something like this. So after I do the first part with my presentation I have set up here, we will have, I think, the first break. And then before we start with the practical part and setting up the CTDB and cluster stuff. So as you can see, when I did this talk before, a few years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago, but since then there were a lot of changes in CTDB. So I thought to maybe redo this tutorial with the new CTDB, because you have any experience with CDDB, and it was a long time ago, so you will see that how you configure CDDB has changed a lot. So now what we are working here, as you can see, if you have took a look at the handout, you all got this handout. It's in the handout, it says 4.11, but on the virtual machines I spread to you via Vagrant, it's 4.12. And what I also did, it's a Debian 10 machine, but with backport kernel, the 5.4 kernel, because of the new SMB protocol stack, and 4.12, because 4.12 has also the new SMB possibility, so it's much faster. So if you're right from the beginning, if you are thinking of using CTDB together with Glasta, the best performance you will get with 5.3 or higher kernel, and Samba 4.12. So that's why I decided to upgrade the machines, but I couldn't manage it to do all the changes inside my handout, but it's just a number in the handout because the configuration of 4.12 and 4.11 was exactly the same. So it just, you just have to change 4.11 with 4.12 and you will have it. So let's see what we got here. Let me see how I can get my... So why, the first question is always, why should I use a cluster? Most of the, in most companies I've come to and we install the clusters, the first thing they said is we want to eliminate a single point of failure. So if you have a standalone server and the server is going down or is failing, then you have all the people working with the server can't reach your data anymore. So, and nowadays it's not possible. When I started with IT, it was in most companies it was normal that the file server was not reachable for 1 or 2 hours a day. So everybody said, oh, it's just a computer, but today it's not possible anymore to have a single point of failure to so that people can't work with the data. To eliminate a single point of failure, what you need is a failover if one of your nodes is crashing. So that's what does clustering is doing. So also CTDB and Gluster, both together do the failover if one node is crashing. We will take a look at this later on with CTDB. This tutorial called CTDB cluster with GlusterFS, but our main topic will be CTDB. So we will set up a GlusterFS cluster, and to just to show you how easy it is to configure a cluster. And then in the second part of the practical part of the tutorial, we will see how to set up CTDB and manage the shares and all this stuff. Another point why using a cluster is load balancing. So this is also done can also be done with CTDB. So that if you have more than one server, more nodes in your cluster, then different clients connect to different nodes. And so you can have a load balancing for your clients. But if you talk to the management people of the IT business, they say, oh yes, we need single point of failure, we need failover, we need load balancing. But if you are coming to talk to the admins, to the people who work with the system, hey, they say, our main interest in cluster is maintenance without downtime. So what we can do, we can upgrade one node, restart it without anyone working on the cluster, it's losing the connection. So this is the main point. You don't have to do your maintenance on the weekend or during the night. You can do it in normal working hours. So that is often for the administrators the most important part. Do not don't have to do the work during the night. So what do you need if you want to set up everything we are doing today? You need at least two nodes for a cluster. You need two nodes for CTDB, but what you can do, you can set up Gluster and CTDB on the same hosts. In a test environment or in a small environment, it's no problem and it's okay. But if you have a large environment, it's always very good idea to separate these services, to have these services on different nodes, because then you can build a heartbeat network for the communication between your cluster hosts and your CTDB hosts, and only the CTDB host will be connected to the production network. So no one from the production network, from a client, can physically reach one of your cluster nodes. So they're totally separated so that nobody can access the data. What you also need to is the actual Zamba and cluster packages. I can recommend not to use the packages coming with the distribution because most of the time they are too old. If you can see that with Debian, you have 4.9 or 4.10 at the moment, and you can't have the benefits you have together with 4.12. As I said before, today we will use Zamba 4.12 together with the Gluster 7. I don't know which version will be installed. Installed at the moment because the script says grab the newest versions of Gluster 7. The packages we are use here is everybody, anyone of you on the mailing list of the Zamba mailing list. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then you know Louis van Bellen. And okay, I see Andreas is saying okay. Yeah. Then I use his packages here, and that is what we are using inside the virtual machines. Before we start with CTDB, I said I will talk to you, or we will set up a cluster. So let's take a short look at the characteristics of GlusterFS. What you can do, you can merge the disk space from many nodes to one volume. So with Gluster, if you are access the data on a GlusterFS, you always access a volume. And it doesn't matter how many nodes you have inside your Gluster cluster, you will always access the volumes. So that means that you are able to change hosts inside the Gluster cluster. You can add more hosts, you can add more sub-volumes so the cluster can grow with your need of data you have. So, and everything, this is one very important thing, is everything can be done even if the users are using the cluster. So to say, you know, we have a volume with three hosts, and we have, let's say, 5 terabytes of data, and now we want to have another sub volume, you can just add the new sub volume and all the people are working. And after you add the sub volume, you can then the cluster will recover and will wait the data between the new sub volumes, and the people can still work. You can use Gluster on a Linux client and mount the Gluster cluster via fuse mount. So you don't need another, the only thing you need is a Gluster client to mount the Gluster volume over the network. But Gluster gives you several opportunities to use a Gluster volume. You can use this via SMB, you can use this via NFS, or you can mount it by a fuse mount. So, and you can have different ways. You can, a few people can use this via NFS, other people can use this over SMB. So, and if you have some Linux clients, they can use it via fuse mount. So everything is possible here. It's expandable without downtime. I think this is one of the good thing, so you don't have to shut down your server to add a new host. Or if you want to remove a host, you can just remove it, add a new one, and you don't have to shut down the cluster for this. Very important is that it's the POSIX ACL support. So this is very important for the CTDB stuff. So together with the settings in Samba, you can work with the Microsoft Windows ACLs to set the permissions as you know it from Windows or from a standalone Samba server. There are different kind of configurations. We will take a short look at the configuration possibilities you have, and it's always a thing you should always think first before you set up a cluster to see which one would be the best for you. But it's always possible, even if you set up a cluster with some configuration, it's always possible for you to change the configuration type. So in a few minutes, I will show you the different configuration types, and then you will see that it's possible to switch from one configuration type to another. One of the nice things is that it's cluster is self-healing. So even if you have, in most of the time, if you have a split brain, GlusterFS can self-heal a split brain. When I do CTDB in a three-day class, I also do it together with GlusterFS, and most participants in this class always try to say, oh, now let's see if we can force a split brain, and they copy data, they disconnect the host during the copy process, or they just kill a machine, but everything is both. They never have a split brain where you really have to do it by hand and repair a split brain by hand. The only way how we manage to get a split brain is if you directly write to the disk of one node. But in normal life, nobody should do this. The next thing is Gluster is supporting volume snapshots. As long as you set up your nodes with LVM 2 and SYN provisioned, Gluster is using the LVM snapshot function to snapshot a whole volume. And on Samba, together with the VFS module, hard to name at the moment, you can even configure your Samba cluster so that the client, the user on the client system, can recover an old version. So you can manage to give the users access to the snapshots, so the user can recover its own deleted files or will go back to a earlier state of a file. So this is a good thing what you can do with Gluster. So now let's see what possibilities we have. We can build a replicated volume. A replicated volume is nothing more, as you know, if you are looking to disks, it's like a disk mirroring. So you can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 nodes, and all the nodes have the same content. So it's always the fault tolerance you have to let the replication, the replicator. So if you have three nodes, two nodes can fail, and you still can access your data. Then we have the distributed volumes. A distributed volume is if you take, for example, three nodes, build a replicated volume, take another three nodes, build a second replicated volume, and bind these two together. So then you have a a distributed volume is if you put these single nodes together to one volume. But you can also do what I'm having at the last point is a replicated distributed volume. You can do a combination of both, a replicated and distributed volume. So then you can, this is what you can do, you can expand your volume. So if you have a replicated volume of three hosts, and then you say, oh no, it's not enough, we need more space, you need take another three hosts to build three new nodes, and then you set up a second sub-volume, bind these two sub-volumes together, and you will add more storage capacity to your volume, because the client is always accessing the volume. And so that's what you can do. I still have the striped volume stuff in here, but it's deprecated. And I think with cluster 7, they want to remove the striped volume so that you can put three nodes together to just one volume, and you will spread the volume capacity over three nodes. But it's the same as you have if you have a striped volume set in a RAID system. If you lose one, you lose everything. So a striped volume set is not the thing you really want. So that is also the reason why they said it's deprecated, it's not supported anymore. And what I said before, a replicated distributed volume is if you have more than three nodes and you will add another three nodes to have a larger volume. What we want today is we will create a two node replicated volume. So I said, what can we do in this short amount of time? So I said, you want to see a cluster, but it must be real easy to set it up. So I said we set up a two node replicated volume. A two node replicated volume in a productive environment. Yes, you can do it, but having three nodes or odd number of nodes inside the cluster is always recommended, because have you heard about the topic quorum inside a cluster? Yes, okay. So if you
I think in Ceph it's the same, you need an odd number.
Yeah. You need an odd number because if you lose the connection between two nodes, then you have, for example, if you have three nodes, you have on the other end, on one end you have two nodes, on the other hand you have one node. But these two nodes on one side and one node on the other side are still connected to the production network. So a client can connect to both parts, to the two node part of the cluster and to the one node part of the cluster. So, and now if someone writes data to the one node part and the other someone else is writing or changing the same file at the same time, you will have a split brain, because it's possible they can reach the node. So a quorum now looks and says, okay, I have now, on the one hand, I have two nodes, they can communicate with each other. On the other hand, I have one node, and this one node is standing alone, none of the other hosts can talk to this node, and it says, oh, the quorum, I need a quorum that's always more than 50% of the nodes. This one node is not met the quorum anymore. So the cluster will go, and it depends on how you configured the cluster, will shut down the node or will make it read-only so that no changes can be done to this node. So this is why you will see when we later on configure the cluster volume that it says, okay, you're just setting up a cluster with two nodes. Remember that you don't have a quorum, the possibility to use a quorum with an even number of nodes. So that's in advance, because you would see this message later on. But a two-node replicated volume is enough to show the functionality of CTDB. What do we need? Or what will we do today? The cluster FS server packages must be installed on our nodes. It's already done if you are have set up the machines. We have to configure the trust pool. This is the first step we will do. And then we need a partition that we can use to build up a volume. This is also already be done with an LVM2. It's already formatted with XFS. XFS is a recommended file system from GlusterF to use it together with GlusterFS. Please don't use ButterFS together with Gluster. It will definitely destroy your Gluster volume. I've tried it because someone said, oh, why don't you use ButterFS? I said, I can try it. And after a few minutes, the Gluster cluster crashes and I was not able to bring it back. I have to reformat the partition, and I did it 3 times because I said, I must have done something wrong. But then I said, no, it's not possible. Then after we set up the partition and the brick, you have to mount the brick. It's already done. So if you take a look at the both machines, cluster 1 and cluster 2, you will find a directory /gluster, and you will see that this logical volume is mounted to this mount point. Then we have, after the brick is mounted so that we can use it, we have to create the volume. The next step, as you can see here, up to this point, this is the second command you will do on the command line. First configuring the trusted pool, and then create the volume. So just 2 steps, because I did already the formatting and the mounting stuff for the brick. You have the volume created. You have to start the volume. And the last step is mount the volume. So especially with Debian, there's a problem. Because you will mount the cluster volume via fuse mount. And in Debian, there's a problem. If you use the fuse mount daemon to mount GlusterFS and you reboot your system, Debian is first starting fuse mount and then starts the network. So it makes no sense mounting the cluster volume via FS stuff. So what I did, I wrote a systemd script. You will find this systemd script inside the data directory on both of your cluster nodes later on. And then we will mount the cluster volume via systemd. And this is secure, and even if you restart your system, your cluster volume will be mounted correctly after you start the system. And after we do all the Gluster stuff, we will come to CTDB. And now let me explain a little, or let me talk about a little bit about the characteristics of CTDB. CTDB stands for Cluster Trivia Databases. So the, you all know the TDB databases from a standalone Samba file server or from the Active Directory server. So what we are doing here, we are taking the possibility that the TDB databases are capable to run as a cluster database. The main thing is here that they are master active-active databases. So you can do changes on both or on all sides of the nodes in the cluster, and it will be replicated to all the nodes in your CTDB. So it doesn't matter how many CTDB nodes you will have, all the TDB databases will always be the same. And it doesn't matter where you do the changes. Later on, you will see that we do all the changes inside the registry. Any one of you using the configuration, or is any one of you configuring Samba file servers via registry, standalone file servers?
Yes.
Okay. You all know why you should not use smbconf, but always use the registry to configure Samba file servers. Shall I explain it again?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Okay. The main thing is, if a client connects to a Samba file server, every client creates a new SMB process. You can see it if you do a PS, you will see all the SMB processes then. And to every SMB process, the SMB.conf is connected. So if you do a change on a SMB.conf, the whole SMB.conf will be transferred to all connected clients. So the biggest SMB conf I saw were around about 400K with 800 clients. So the admin did a change on the SMB, and as soon as he saved the SMB.conf, the SMB.conf was transferred to all this many thousands of clients and 400K of data. So you can imagine that there's a lot of traffic going on. So that's why you should never ever have any comments in your smb.conf. Remove everything you don't need. And the best thing is, if you're setting up a Samba file server, use the registry. Because there's no comments allowed inside the registry, and if a client connects to the registry, and you do a change, only the change will be sent to connected clients. It's one thing. The next thing is that if you have more than one administrators, and all your administrators have to administer the file server, because it's a database, you can do changes from several places at the same time. With an smb.conf, it's not possible because it's an ASCII text file. The next thing. One more thing. Because it's a standard registry, you can even go from a Windows client via regedit and configure your Samba file server registry from a Windows system. So you don't have to have a console and connect via SSH. So I have some customers, they have a divided administration. They are Windows admins and they have Linux admins. And the Windows admins, they're not allowed to access the Linux machines. So they only can do the administration part via the Windows GUI. So now what they can do, if you use the registry, you can tell them, hey, I can show you how you can, if you want to have a new share, how can you set up a share without bothering me to change anything, something inside the smb.conf. So this is the main advantage of using the registry. Together with CTDB, you must use the registry to configure your Samba, because it doesn't matter if you have 2 nodes, 3 nodes, 5 nodes, you configure your CTDB on 1 node, and because of the cluster capabilities of the TDB, the change will be done on all hosts at the same time. So you don't have to bother to look, oh, did I do the change on all hosts? No, you do it once and that's okay. If one of the hosts crashes, after the host comes back online, the CTDB will repair the database automatically. So you don't have to do that by hand. CTDB is taking care of fixing TDBs inside the CTDB cluster. CTDB brings you your high availability functionality. It brings you a failover and IP takeover. Especially the IP takeover is very important for you, because later on a Windows client will just connect to the cluster and not to one of the nodes. The client will never know to which node he's connecting, because what we are doing, we're doing round robin DNS, and all the dynamic IP addresses from the CTDB will be managed via DNS, and the client gets one IP address from the cluster. And as soon as one cluster node crashes, one CTDB cluster node crashes, one of the remaining CTDB nodes will do an IP takeover. And what the client is thinking, oh, I lost the connection, and will immediately try to reconnect to the same IP address he got from the DNS. And because of the short time of the takeover, we will see it. It's less than a second. So if one node crashes, it less than a second, the IP address is back to one of the remaining hosts. So a client can immediately reconnect, and even if the client is copying data, there's no loss of any data, so it will still work. And we do a load balancing via round robin DNS. So, but this requires that you have a DNS server that allows round robin. So if you are using Samba as an Active Directory domain controller, and you are using the internal DNS server, then a round robin DNS is not possible, because the internal Samba DNS server is not capable of doing round robin DNS. So if you want to set up a CTDB cluster, you should always use Bind9 as the DNS server in your network environment. Yeah, that's about the characteristics of CTDB. Any questions? No questions? Okay.
Quick question. So, yeah. Is the IP takeover instead of round robin, or both of those work together?
They work together. You have the IP takeover. As soon as you start all your nodes, you will see it later on. Each host will get an IP address from a prepared list. you have a list with an amount of IP address, and all of the hosts will get one of these IP addresses. And now, and you put all these IP addresses from this list into your DNS with the same name. That's very important. So, for example, you name it my cluster, and my cluster has 5 different IP addresses. And then DNS round robin is taking care. If the client says, "Hey, which IP address has my cluster?" the DNS will give them one of the IP addresses. The next client will ask the DNS server, "Hey, which IP address has my cluster?" And because of the round robin of the DNS, this client will get a different IP address. And the client will connect to one, to a different node. So, and now, if one of the nodes crashes or you stop the service, then another node will take this IP, so the other node will have 2 IPs from this list. So a client that was connected to this IP address the crashed host has, so the client is still connecting to the same node in his mind, because he said, "Oh yes, I had this IP address. Yes, I have the same IP address." So.
Load balancing, round robin DNS with load balancing itself would be sufficient to have high availability. But if you want the connections that the client have to survive a failure, you would want the IP takeover too.
Yes.
Did I understand that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
And one other question in this subject. Would Kerberos authentication be supported when doing IP takeovers this way?
I don't know how you bring in Kerberos at this point. The user is locked into the Windows system. The Windows system connects because the CDDB cluster, the CDDB cluster is a member of your domain. So you have a Kerberos authentication.
Yes, since the host name, I guess, is what we use to register the service principles and whatnot, irrespective of what happens under the covers, we'd still be able to use Kerberos authentication.
Yes, definitely. Because as you will see, when we join the cluster, we join just the cluster, not each of the hosts. So if you have a CDDB with 5 hosts, you're just doing one join, and after the join, all the nodes are, you can do a NetADS test join, and you will see that all nodes are joined into the domain. So what you have a Kerberos principle. You can see it in your PC list, that you have just a Kerberos principle for the cluster and not for every host. So
makes a lot of sense. Okay, thank you.
With all the IP addresses. This answers your question?
Yeah. Yes, it did. Thank you.
One more question, please. Yeah. So I have a question. So previously you said that POSIX ACL support, which is available in Gluster, is important for CTDB. Mm-hmm. Can you please explain how it's related to CTDB?
Because in CTDB, we have a BFS object called ACL XATRIP. And this BFS module is managing the permission, setting the Windows-like permission. And this object needs the POSIX ACLs to translate the NT ACLs to the permissions inside the Linux or Unix file system. So this is why we definitely need a cluster file system that supports POSIX ACLs. So it doesn't matter, but if you have CTDB is not relying on Gluster. You can use any clustered file system underneath CTDB you want. You can use Ceph, you can use ZFS, everything's no problem.
Question here. So basically, when you say we need a POSIX ACL, it's not for CTDB, but more for Samba. That means that to be able to process ACL. But CTDB doesn't care whether there's ACL or not. It's really Samba at the end of the day that managed the ACL with the VFS layer. Okay, cool. Makes sense.
You would see that in earlier days, CTDB was a standalone service. And Samba was a standalone service. With CTDB, you can not only manage a failover for Samba and WinBind, but you can also go and do a failover for NFS and for FTP servers. So CTDB is just doing the failover, the IP takeover, and the load balancing. And you can compare it a little bit with Pacemaker and Corsic. So CTDB starts all the services. You will see later on that we remove the SMB, NMB, and WinBind service from System D, and we will let CTDB take care of starting and stopping the service. So CTDB is just for managing the failover stuff. Samba needs the ACLs so that you from your Windows system, from your Windows client, if you connect to a share, that you can set the Windows-like permissions. This is why I mentioned that Gluster is supporting POSIX ACLs. But without POSIX ACLs, your client could not set the permission via Samba. But Samba is setting the permission right, yes.
Yeah, this is clear, but I still can't understand why the etc object is not just related to VFS. You said that it's not VFS object, it's CTDB also object. This is sort of unclear thing.
Then
or maybe I misunderstood something.
No, then I explained it maybe a little bit wrong, because the VFS object is Samba.
Yes.
And not CTDB. CTDB is managing Samba, and Samba is managing the shares and managing the access.
I think that's that's where we got confused a little bit, because I think at one point you said it was CTDB that needed it, and we're like, what? That's why. All right, thanks.
Okay, now it's clear. So it's just a VFS object. That's all.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thanks. So now it's clear. Yeah.
You will see it when we come to the last part of the tutorial, when we go to the shares, and then you will see that we inside the share we will set the VFS object so that the ACLs can be used. So first we will start CTDB, and you will see, oh, CTDB is running, and then we will manage that CTDB will start the Samba service. So this belongs together nowadays. If you install Samba, there's just another package CTDB, but it belongs to the Samba suite. A few years ago, you always have to look, oh, I installed this Samba version, and now I need this CTDB version. There were different CTDB versions. There were different version numbers. A CTDB version number was not the same version number as Samba, since it started with 4.2. They put everything together. So now, if you know, I have to install CTDB Samba version 4.12, and also the Samba server is 4.12, so everything works fine. This is the reason why it's nowadays a floating stuff between these two services. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Let's see what we have to do when we want to set up CTDB. We have to first install the Samba packages. That's already done. I told you what we use the Lewis-Tombell packages. We have to create the DNS entries for the cluster. Normally, it's if you join a Linux machine to an Active Directory, the DNS entries will be generated automatically. As soon as you using the cluster mode for Zamba, the DNS entries will not be done automatically. That means that you must, before you join the CTDB cluster, you have to create the DNS entries. So that's what we want to do later on. Then what we need a recovery log. The recovery log file must be located inside the cluster file system. As you can see here, we will mount the cluster file system to ClusterFS later on, and we will call the file ctdb.log. All the nodes must have access to this file. If this file is not inside cluster file system, then the node will notice that, oh, I can have access to this file and nobody else. I can lock this file as long as I want. I don't have to give it for other nodes. So no, oh, something is it's weird, something is not working. All the nodes must be configured to use the same recovery log inside a clustered file system. What else we need is we need two different files. We need the file called nodes, and we need a file called public addresses. And the file nodes, you will put all the IP address of all your CTDB nodes. This file must be identical on all CTDB hosts so that every CTDB host knows who else is part of the CTDB cluster. The public address part, this is the, here you define the IP address from your public production network. These are the IP addresses that will be managed via the IP takeover of CTDB. So as soon as the first host is coming up, you will see that later on we start the first host, and you would see that the first host will take both IP addresses because it's alone and it says, oh, none of the other hosts I have in my file nodes is up, so I have to take all the IP addresses. As soon as the second node comes up, the first node says, okay, there's a second node. And now I have to give one of the IP address from the public from the public address file to these nodes. So these are the two files where you, how you, this is telling you how do you manage the public IP address and the IP takeover. Andreas.
Quick question. Since these files have to be the same in all nodes, how do you update them safely?
Yeah, the nodes file must be the same.
Yeah, the public, so let's say I'm going to add a new node. So I suppose you could store these files in ClusterFS itself?
No, they must be inside the etc ctdb directory. What you can
do, I thought about a symlink or something, because if I need to add a new node, so I mm-hmm. have to, you know, SSH to cluster one, edit the file, SSH to cluster two, edit the file. While that's happening, the cluster is becoming slowly aware of the new node, and that's a problem.
But what we will do later on, that with CTDB, there's coming a command called onNode. So what you will do, what you can do, you will put the nodes file inside your cluster volume in one place, and with OneNode you can copy the file. So you change in ClusterFS, for example, you said /ClusterFS, there's my file nodes. You change this file, and then you do the command onNode copy ClusterFS nodes to etc ctdb on all nodes, and then you will copy the file with one command to all the nodes. Later on, I will show you how this command one node will work, and then you can do this. Yes, but you cannot point the node file and the public address file directly to this cluster file. It's not possible. You have to copy it with one node, because if you shut down one node, you can't reach this anymore, and that's a problem. So it must be on a local file system. But we will take care of this, and I will show you how you can manage this if you add a new host, if you add a new node, how you can do this. If you have this file, all questions answered up to this point. Okay, then we have to start the CTDB service, and we will take a look at the services, and we will take a look with CTDB status and see if all nodes are coming up. And I will show you inside the log file what you will see and how you can debug it and what you should see and what will happen if it's not working. Okay, this is how these files look. As you can see in the notes file, you have just the IP addresses of the host itself. As you can see here, I have a different network. So what I set up with your hosts is I have two host only networks. The network with the 57 is my heartbeat network. Only the CTDB service and the cluster service can access this network. And the other IP, the 56 IP address, is in the production network. As you can see here, you have an IP address with a subnet mask and an interface. So what you can do, you can position several CTDB nodes in different subnets. So one network card of the CTDB node is inside your heartbeat network. This is a network where all the CTDB nodes are communicating with each other. The other network card is maybe in the 56 subnet, two in the 56, two in 58, two in 59, and then these that you have, and you can manage to have different CTDB nodes in different subnets. So you can also do a load balancing over more than over the subnets. You say, okay, people from this subnet just can access these two nodes, and people who work on a client in the next subnet can only access these two. So the public addresses can be different on each node. But here we will have just one subnet for the production network. This is how it looks when you finally have set up the CTDB. You see here two nodes, IP address, and it's the status is okay. And later on, then you see the size and you see recovery mode is normal. That means if you see this on your screen, you say, hey, everything is fine. Because I told you that we have to put the configuration of the Samba in the registry, it's just a few points what we have to do this. The smb.conf file is always there. You can't start a Samba server without a smb.conf. It's hard-coded. So what we are doing here, we do a clustering. We have just three lines. Global clustering, yes. It says Samba, hey, you are in clustering mode. And we include the registry with all the configuration. Well, this step is done after CTDB says everything is okay. Then we can configure Samba. And here, Oleg, I think you asked, here you can see that we are configuring two services. We configure CTDB. CTDB is running, and after CTDB is running, we configure Samba, and Samba is accessing the file system and therefore Samba is needing the POSIX ACLs to manage the NT-ACLs via the VFS module. Then we have to import the configuration into the registry. I prepared something for you. I prepared already a configuration, so you don't have to type it yourself. Even if you want to redo all the things we did today, tomorrow, or next week, or sometimes else, you can find the configuration inside the virtual machines. Then, as I told you, because CTDB should manage the starting of the service, we have to remove the SMBD, NMBD, and WinBind from systemd. Then we have to enable Samba, CTDB to start the Samba, and we have to enable CTDB to start the WinBind with the CTDB event script command. Then we can join the domain. And after we joined the domain, we can restart CTDB and everything is fine. And then you can manage your Samba server as you have done it before, just add a share and you will do it just now via CTDB. After we did this, we will do some tests. I will show you how you can test the running services. You can see which services are running. You can see how you can ping all CTVs are able to reach all. You can get information. You can get information with CTDB about when was the last takeover. So this is also very important sometimes to look when did we had a failure and CTDB was recovering, or did a takeover, or when was the last takeover was taking place. And you can see which host has which dynamic IP address. And now, Andreas, come to your question. There's a command called OneNode. With OneNode, I can do a few things on my CTDB nodes. For example, I could do one onNode CTDB status. What I do here, CTDB status, is just a command. I will set up this command. I will execute the CTDB status on all nodes, and I will see the result on my screen. I can, with OneNode, go and restart services. Not only CTDB, is just an example. You could say, and instead of all, you can use a list of host names. So for example, you did some changes on SSH, on the SSH configuration. So you could do on node one, node two service SSH restart. And then the service will be started on all the hosts, but you do it just one from your machine. And the next thing is exactly this what you asked for. I did some changes on the node file, and I need this file in etc CTDB. So with one node, all CP cluster FS nodes do CTDB. Excellent. Andreas.
Yeah, but in this scenario, I added a new node to the cluster, so the on node command will not know about the new node. So the new node.
Okay. Yeah, that's command. Right. On the new node, you have to copy it.
Maybe I have to do it twice. Is that enough?
You the have first to do
time, the existing nodes become aware of the new node, and then the
yes.
second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we will talk a little bit about the shares. We will talk about how to mount the classic way, mount via the cluster volume. So the cluster mount volume is mounted to your CTDB node, and you just create a standard share, the first thing you can do. Then you can use the VFS module clusterfs. So then you don't have to mount the cluster volume to your CTDB server. You will use the cluster protocol to connect the CTDB server via the Gluster protocol. And there's a new module. I think they brought it out with 4.10, Gluster FS Fuse. And you also don't have to mount the Gluster volume. The main advantage from this Gluster FS Fuse is if you have a lot of small files, a lot of small files is definitely the biggest problem you will have. If you have a folder with a lot of small files and performance of CTDB together with Gluster is getting poorer and poorer because every file sends some information and it can take a long time until you see the content of your directory. I have a customer, they have directories with over 250,000 files in one directory, and it takes up to 10 minutes until you can see all the files in this directory. So this is with the Gluster FS Fuse, it's a little bit better. So, but we will take a look at all three ways. And that's it. And I think before we start with the show, it's now 4:15. Shall be back at 4:30. We take a little break. But before we take a break, anyone has a question of what I talk about up to this point? Andreas.
And when you were showing earlier in a slide the different I don't remember the word topologies for GlisterFS. You mentioned the distributed, I think. And so they kind of resemble RAID modes like mirror and RAID 0, I suppose.
Yeah.
You can go back. Yeah, there. So distributed and replicated. So replicated is a plain mirror, as you said, and distributed. So if I have just distributed and I lose a node, then I lose all the data, right?
No.
No?
Only the data from this node.
Maybe
say we have a distributed volume of three nodes, and each node has,
I have no redundancy basically.
No, then you have no redundancy. That's right.
Yes. Okay.
What you
Is it easy to determine which data was in each volume?
Yes.
Like, could a file have been broken in half or?
No. All files are always stored on one node.
Okay.
And what you can do, you have maybe the distributed volume. You have three nodes, maybe three nodes with 1 terabyte. So you have 3 terabyte. Mm-hmm. So if you lose one node, you have only 2 terabyte of data left. The other two nodes from your distributed volumes are still working. But you can't access the data from the
anymore. So it's not as drastic as in ZFS when you lose a VDEV, you lose everything instead of.
No.
Okay.
This would be a striped volume. When you stripe stripe and you lose one, then you can have this in a striped volume. Each file will be striped to all three nodes. So if you just lose one of the nodes, you will lose everything. Mm-hmm. The distributed volume, not. You just put them together to have three small pieces, you have one big. And if you lose one, the others are still there.
Okay.
I see your hand.
I actually understood the difference between distributed and striped.
Okay. The other Andreas has a question.
Yes, how does the format for IPv6?
I can't understand you still.
How the format for IPv6 addresses does look in the config files?
For IPv6, you just type them as you normally type an IPv6 address. In the node file and in the public address file, you type your IPv6 address with your mask and important in the public address file, you always must, in the line of the IP address, even with IPv6, you must add the device on which the IP should be bound.
Otherwise,
write it the same way as you in other places type your IPv6 address. You can use the short form or the long form. Okay? Andreas.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. Again. Oh, the other Andreas. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, one question from Klaus. What about erasure coding in GlusterFS?
What? I didn't get the question.
What is about erasure coding in GlusterFS? Was also erasure coding possible?
What do you mean by erasure coding?
Erasure coding is different from replicated. It's replicated just replicates, for example, three times. You need three times the space.
Yeah.
For one tera, you need 3 tera. And the erasure coding is something like rate whatever. And distributes with some error codes the files over, for example, 3 or 5 or whatever nodes.
And what you can do with a replicated volume, if you don't want to set up stay with 3 nodes. If you don't want to set up all 3 nodes with the same amount of storage, because you just want to have 1 node because of the quorum, you can set up an arbiter. So this arbiter only stores the hash information for the files. So you don't need the same amount of storage for this arbiter. So that's what you can do.
Okay.
And you don't.
Red Hat calls it dispersed volumes.
Yes.
With erasure coding.
Yeah, dispersed volumes are also allowed with GlusterFS, but dispersed with dispersed volumes. I didn't mention it here because it's a little bit more complicated. Dispersed volume, you define your fault tolerance. Maybe you say I have 10 nodes and I want to have a tolerance of 3. Three hosts are only there for the fail. So up to 3 hosts can fail and you still have the data. So this is possible with Gluster, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It started with, I think, with Gluster 6, there were dispersed volumes.
Do you have any numbers about performance for especially small files?
You should not ask.
Okay. I see the biggest problem in cluster file systems, and this is a reason why we didn't go into cluster file systems until now for home servers are the small files.
So there are some settings. We will also do the settings. There's a special set of configuration you can do with Gluster to manage small files. But the biggest problem is not only Gluster. The biggest problem was the SMB protocol. Because the SMB protocol for each file, it has a lot of overhead. If you list all the files in the directory, SMB protocol is asking, getting the information for each file, get information for file, read the file, get information for the file, read the file. And this is what costs so much performance and so much time. It's better now. That's why I said at the beginning, I said, if you want to set it up and you want to test it, please use kernel 5.3 or better. And 4.12 on your Samba version. Then there's a better performance in the SMB protocol.
Okay.
So your mileage may vary. as it says.
Yeah,
you have to try it. Because I said, what I said was 250,000, there are 250,000, more than 250,000 files, all about the size of 100 kilobyte, and took more than 10 to 15 minutes to enumerate all the files inside the directory.
And days if you have a Mac as an SMB client, preferably.
It doesn't make a sense if you have a Mac client or a Windows client or a Linux client. This SMB protocol just makes this problem.
Yeah, I know, but we have some reports from Mac users that it's much slower. The Finder seems to be very talking too much. Maybe it's better now.
Yeah. Do you use the VFS fruit module when you use your Mac?
It seems to be better with a fruit module, of course.
Mm-hmm. I have no experience because I don't have any customers with Mac, so I don't have any experience. But I think the fruit module, you should definitely use the fruit module if you're having Mac clients. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have the problem. We have anything except IBM hosts.
I have one customer, also university. They just checked and they have a IBM cluster with GPFS underneath, and they were thinking about changing to Gluster, to change to Ceph, and we did a test setup, and even with Ceph, it's not as fast as you get it with GPFS.
Yeah.
But there are 500,000 reasons why they would like to change. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The system, that's a German word for IBM. Ich bezahle mehr. Ne? Yeah.
Itsy bitsy machines.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just one question to make sure. So in this external list of IP addresses, they are equal to each other. So CTDB can assign one address to the node 1, but next time it can assign it to node 2. So, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thanks. For
example, if you have maybe you have five CTDB nodes and they're all running, and now two nodes are crashing, and you restart the nodes, you can't be sure that the node gets its IP address back he had before, because CTDB just gives the first node that comes up the first IP address, so they can change. It's not possible to say which IP address a CTDB node from the virtual list gets. That's right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And also, I noticed that there is an interface name next to the IP address. Actually, this is a requirement to rename your interfaces to be equal to each other, right?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That was going to be my question as well. It means all the nodes have to be equal.
But normally, I cannot recommend to use. When do you have different IP address or network card names? If you use different distributions, I would not recommend using different distribution to set up a CTDB. I would take. Don't do a distribution zoo with CTDB. Stay with one distribution, and then all the distributions would have the same name for their network cards.
Okay, if
you want to do it, then you have to be sure that all the cards have the same name. Yes.
I have a doubt regarding CTDB IP failover. So, in a CTDB cluster, I would assume that you have fixed number of IP addresses, right? And if a node goes down, one of the existing nodes takes over the IP.
Yes.
Now, what happens when the node comes up and there are clients being handled by another node which already has taken over the IP? I mean, what happens to the IP?
Because on a Samba server, there's a TDB database with all the sessions. So all sessions, if you do an SMB status, then you will see the sessions. And all nodes in a CTDB cluster will ever new all the sessions. So if the host comes back and it gets one of the IP address, get a new IP address, and a host is connected, it doesn't matter. It makes
Hello?
All nodes, all sessions. So can get mixed up.
Got so do you mean that there will be no reconnect? I mean, SMB2 reconnect.
Yes, it will reconnect, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you will drop these connections and they will reconnect?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Then it's clear. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, then I think we take a 15-minute break. And I think 15 minutes before 5, I'll be back. Go and have a coffee, cigarette, and all the stuff.
Hey, Stefan, okay. Quick question. I'd like to disconnect my Zoom from this machine that I have the virtual machine set up to a different machine so I can have Zoom separate and I can type. Is it okay if I disconnected? Would you need to admit me again? Or
No, as soon as you reconnect, you will be back inside the room.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. See you.